Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Cavalli. We're back. Mr. and Mrs. America. That's me, Lou Cavalli, with my dynamic sidekick, Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli. We're raring to go with the kind of hard-hitting info and spiritual witness many of you have come to know and trust since our beginning in 2003.
Yes, Lou, it's December 1st, 2022. We are so very grateful for each of you precious listeners and helpers to DividedKingdomRadio.com. God's love, truth, and majesty will prevail eternally over what we are all facing, demons in December. And, of course, Lou Cavalli is going to be opening the program. He and I are going to have a bombshell expose.
This is from LifeSite News. Satanic ritual abuse scandal reemerges in Utah with recent arrest.
And you know, I think before we go on with it, we must say that we're going to talk a little bit about how satanic attacks come upon watchpersons for the Lord when the topics are very, very strong. And that happened to us, and we'll tell you a little bit about that later. So give us that title again, Lou.
Yes, Satanic Ritual Abuse Scandal Reemerges in Utah with Recent Arrest. Again, this is from LifeSite News by Sam Dorman, Thursday, October 20th, 2022. Utah County authorities have made their first arrest in a ritual abuse scandal that spans decades and includes accusations that members of the Mormon clergy and prominent local families participated in satanic activities. Mormon ex-therapist David Hamblin, accused of frequent satanic abuse, was arrested last month and booked on seven counts related to sexual abuse of a child, including charges of sodomy and rape. In a press release, Utah County Sheriff Mike Smith said, quote, "Despite efforts by some individuals to delegitimize this investigation, as well as intimidate witnesses and law enforcement, this investigation has moved forward with the arrest of David Hamblin for multiple felony counts of sexual crimes against a child," unquote. The arrest happened 45 to 60 minutes ago. Victims were the first to be notified. According to a booking sheet, Hamblin's arrest was based on accusations from a woman who allegedly lived in the same neighborhood as his family and was forced to engage in sex acts with him during her childhood, including in the 1980s when she was 6 or 7. Other children were abused in her presence, and according to the booking sheet, they corroborated her account. She also accused the ex-therapist of instructing her, when she was 12, to perform a sex act on an adult female. The victim's accounts echo previous victim statements that accused Hamblin and his ex-wife of grooming children for sex slavery, prostituting them out, as well as perpetrating sadistic terrorization. Some of the alleged abuse aligns with other alleged violence in Hamblin's past. For example, Hamblin reportedly told one of his own family members, quote, "I'm sorry for raping you," unquote. He also faced child abuse charges in 2012. The case was dismissed without prejudice as both sides had difficulty obtaining evidence. Brett Bluth, a Utah man who reportedly saw Hamblin for counseling, accused Hamblin of sexually abusing him and of trying to convince him that he, that is Bluth, had developed dissociative alters, that is dissociative identity disorder, as a result of ritualistic abuse. Hamblin eventually lost his therapist license, but the case raised questions about Hamblin's connections with the state of Utah. Watch. A strong message from Brett Bluth to survivors of ritualistic sex abuse. He finally felt police believed him when he shared his story of being abused by Hamblin. And here we have a quote from Twitter. "It's time for this book to open. That story to be read. Survivors to be honored. We cannot be broken," unquote. That was a tweet by Adam Herbert, September 29th, 2022. According to Bluth, a Mormon bishop named Conrad Gottfriedson had referred him to Hamblin for treatment related to his sexuality. The victim's statements, which appear to have multiple misspellings, name a Conrad Godfredson as producing child pornography with the involvement of Hamblin and others. Bluth's 2013 statement alleges that Godfredson himself said he, that is Godfredson, sought treatment for Hamblin after being accessed, that's in quotes, accessed by ritual abusers. This is a common claim among alleged abuse survivors, who say the perpetrators will re-enter their lives with code words or other trigger mechanisms to draw them back into cult-related activities.
It has been alleged that Hamblin and his ex-wife, as well as members of prominent Utah families and Mormon, that is, Church of Latter-day Saints clergy, raped children, tortured or killed humans, and partook in satanic orgies for many years. Among those named are Utah County Attorney David Levitt and his wife. In May 2022, Levitt discussed the allegations against him at a press conference, denied wrongdoing, and suggested Sheriff Smith was reviving old accusations out of political animus before the former's primary challenge. The attorney was rebuked for calling one of the alleged victims, quote, tragically mentally ill. Quote, shame on Levitt for doing that. It's uncalled for. Sergeant Spencer Cannon of the Utah County Sheriff's Office said, according to a local outlet, Cannon added that to, quote, attack their mental health status as a way to discredit them, and it was clear that that's what he was doing. That's just not okay. Levitt, a brother of former Utah Governor Mike Levitt, previously said of Hamblin, when I was a law student, this therapist was my elder's quorum president with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He was my neighbor. I had a family connection. There was no organized ring of abuse. It was debunked more than 10 years ago. Levitt, a Republican, lost his primary bid this June. Brett Bluth and alleged victim statements, in alleged victim statements, I believe that should be, also mentioned, I'm sorry about that, I believe it should be the original way, Brett Bluth and alleged victim statements also mention a Joe Bennion and his pottery studio in Spring City, Utah. The victim statements haven't been verified by LifeSite, and Bennion did not respond to LifeSite's request for comment. Those statements, however, describe Bennion as, quote, the punisher within the satanic cult who would carry out sadistic tortures. One of the victim statements specifies that Bennion's pottery was used for rituals as it contained the Y-shaped symbol that was used heavily by the cult. For example, the victim statements discuss members forming Y shapes with their arms as part of a ritual to summon demons. A news story from Fox 13 contains a video which shows a Y-shaped symbol on Bennion's pottery. The website LatterdaySaintsMag.com shows Bennion holding up a Y-shaped mark and identifying it as a, quote, ha symbol. The unnamed victim, who spurred Hamblin's arrest, reportedly came forward in April 2022, about a month before the sheriff's office requested tips on decades-old allegations of ritual abuse. So far, the office has received more than 130, although the Mormon Church has reviewed decades-old allegations of satanic abuse prior to this case.
In a statement to LifeSite, current Juab County Attorney Ryan Peters said his office, quote, has been appointed to investigate and prosecute cases involving ritualistic sexual abuse occurring in San Pete, Juab, and Utah counties over the past three decades, unquote. Satanic ritual abuse, the Church of Satan, and dismissals of satanic panic. Allegations of satanic ritual abuse, SRA, in Utah made headlines across the USA earlier this year when Sheriff Smith requested tips on ritualistic abuse allegations. Smith had said that some accusations were, quote, corroborated, unquote. While he wasn't specific, victim statements released by Utah's Provo Police Department alleged that Church of Satan members trafficked and abused children in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. The Church of Satan has denied allegations of criminal behavior and asserted that Hamblin is not included in their membership records, which date back to 1966. Church of Satan leader Peter H. Gilmore told LifeSite News that his group is atheistic and does not support child abuse. SRA, that is Satanic Ritual Abuse, is a highly controversial topic that has produced documentaries and speculation about a so-called satanic panic. Media outlets like NBC News essentially dismissed the Utah allegations by warning against what they called, quote, satanic panic, and QAnon conspiracy theories. And that's also what NBC called them. And here's a quote from NBC's headline, "Satanic panic is making a comeback fueled by QAnon believers and GOP influencers," unquote. The story contained a sympathetic portrayal of David Levitt and his Chelum Levitt, who has also been accused by alleged victims. Chelum Levitt has also denied wrongdoing. However, victim statements repeatedly allege that the Levitts were involved in purported CS, that is, Church of Satan activities. One of the statements includes an account of David and Shalom, that's in quotes, Shalom Levitt, humiliating a child victim forced to perform a sex act for them. SRA victims have received more support from law enforcement than from the media. Sheriff Smith notably lent credence to the allegations, saying that, quote, the focus of this investigation is the heinous sexual crimes perpetrated upon children, unquote. In 1991, the press obtained a leaked memo in which Mormon Bishop Glenn Pace claimed that occultists were using the Church of Latter-day Saints as part of their abuse. Pace said, quote, not only do some of the perpetrators represent a cross-section of the Mormon culture, but sometimes the abuse has taken place in our own meeting houses, unquote. Pace appeared to believe the allegations as he cited many Mormon scriptures to support the existence of these types of occult activities. Noting questions about credibility, he said, quote, when 60 witnesses testify to the same type of torture and murder, it becomes impossible for me, personally, not to believe them, unquote. Author Teen Swan has also made allegations about suffering ritual abuse in both Utah and Idaho. Nationwide data on SRA, again, that's a sexual
Satanic ritual abuse. Both ways. Both S's are part of this sinuous satanic serpentine horror to God.
That's right. And nationwide data on this SRA appears to be relatively sparse. But that could be due to the nature of the abuse. Pace stated that such abuse is so severe, it tends to create dissociative alters, that is, alternate personalities, and amnesic barriers that may last a lifetime. The threats the victims endure also prevent public awareness. The Utah victim statements, for example, allege perpetrators used images of mutilated bodies to scare them. In 1995, a UC Davis study attempted to gauge the scope of the problem by surveying law enforcement and other officials about the SRA cases they received. Overall, the researchers identified 4 to 12 ritual abuse cases from district attorneys, departments of social services, and municipal law enforcement agencies. Surveys to clinicians and social workers returned 674 adult survivor cases and 387 for children. The study's authors noted that agencies, quote, overwhelmingly believed, unquote, the allegations, but noted that there wasn't sufficient evidence for proving an interconnected network of widespread abuse. Nevertheless, they reported physical evidence such as, quote, tattoos, drawings, scars on a child's or an adult's body, film, photos, ritual dolls, masks, costumes, etc., unquote. LifeSite attempted to contact Hamlin's ex-wife, but has not yet received a response. Neither the Church of Latter-day Saints nor Conrad Gottfredson has responded to LifeSite's request for comment. David Levitt also did not respond to LifeSite's request for comment.
The horrors of sex slavery and ritual abuse go back for generations in their abomination. The latest pictures of illegal alien children lying drugged at the border are only the latest documentations of these abominations that, according to former MK Ultra mind control victim Kathy O'Brien, go back even to the Marilyn Monroe, quote, presidential model, end of quote, days in the Kennedy years. Her book, with rescuer and husband Mark Phillips, The Transformation of America, documented horrific acts on women and children and discussed high figures politically such as Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, and Dick Cheney. Vatican Jesuit connections and homes where rituals were enacted are discussed in the book, The Transformation of America, as well as Arlen Specter's secluded Pennsylvania home. The story of Kathy O'Brien's small daughter and her initiation and traumatization and final personality destruction is beyond horrific. One brave congressman revealed the Franklin cover-up, and this was back a few decades ago. This was the Satanic Ritual Abuse Network located near Omaha, Nebraska. Later, on his radio program, in about the year 2005 or so, valiant Patriot officer Jack McClam was interviewing Detective Jimmy Rothstein about this hidden darkness and how hard it is to get any top-level police, FBI, and judges to ever expose the truth. Mostly, this is because many of them are part of it. Interestingly, right after these interviews with Detective Rothstein, Jack McClam's nightly program disappeared. He was not on nightly anymore. The network had also remarked to Lou and me, if Jack mentions Jesus Christ one more time, I'll... We also struggled for 6 weeks, personally, to get the right program to air on shortwave. This was the program in which we interviewed Jack McClam about the alleged molestation of his own granddaughter by an army psychiatrist in Germany. The Penn State expose of sexual molestations revealed clearly that this is a world elite network of grotesque pedophiles and victims, widespread throughout many organizations in the world. Remember the Boy Scouts? And how Alex Jones used to get beat up in the parking lots in the early 2000s because he was exposing the women and children sex trafficking of DynCorp. Again, we echo Lou Caverly's recent prayer to Almighty God for God to bring out all of the truth. This would include all the evil aspects of the COVID depopulation bioweapon and the other December death demons assaulting us. And, you know, we're going to have to say right here that there is proof that Satan did not want us on the air bringing this program. As some of you realize, there was a hiatus, and it basically began when some kind of a shortwave glitch caused our program not to begin till the second half of the program back a few weeks ago. And so then we did some repeats, and of course Thanksgiving came, and we always have a repeat on Thanksgiving Day if we are going to have a program there. And so with all that happening, in the interim, Lou had to have dental surgery with a specialist to have a very tricky tooth removed. And thankfully, he came through that very, very well. And other things happened, too. A lot of you know that we have been struggling to stay on the air. We've been struggling to survive. We were in a hopeless situation. It ended up that we actually owed $63,000 in credit card debt. Now, a lot of that was for our 18 years of radio work, and until about 2016 or 17, when Captain Darrell Everhart pleaded with all of you to help us, we were carrying this practically alone, except for one woman who would send $100 a month. That was it, period. Plus, the old house that I had inherited from my parents had a big problem in which the pipes froze in early 2006, and we could never afford to get everything fixed because just getting the old radiators and everything ran us $11,000. So from that time on, we were trapped with a house that could not be sold. And we had to put $7,000 into that house every year when we thought about fire insurance, other insurance for it, paying $700 for somebody to watch it all winter, and then, of course, the fuel costs. Now, this year, if had we continued to have the house, probably getting oil put in twice in the year would have been about $4,000. So you can see that it had come to the point where we felt that we were living desperate lives, that sometime we would lose our home here in Maryland. And so God knew there was only one perfect person who would ever want a house like that. It was a neighbor who has a construction business. And in 2015, we hired him to put a new roof on that house. So he was well acquainted with it, and he wanted to buy it. So maybe 3 or 4 years ago, he called and said, could we sell it to him for $50,000? And I said, oh, no. You know, the land alone was worth $76,000. So we said no. And then another call came more recently, and we worked out a price, and it was about $81,000. Now, Lou figures he'll have to pay about $20,000 in capital gains tax. So that leaves about $60,000. Now, we realize we had a lot of expenses that had piled up here, our own property taxes, life insurance, so that we're still going to be in credit card debt of perhaps $6,000. But compared to $63,000, what a miracle. Now, also, we're upfront with you listeners. We still do need some help. We never want you to sacrifice and put your own homes or your own family into trouble. But the truth is, we still have a home equity loan, we have a mortgage, and we have five other loans that we have to pay on every month. Next year, in the summer, two of those large loans will be gone. Things will be better for us. But we are just saying that we do still need your help, and we can never thank enough people who have helped us through the radio. A couple times, yes, we had to use a little bit of the money personally. Lou could not even buy gas. We couldn't buy groceries. So one person we're thinking of completely is unique. This person had not had work back in March. This person several times wrote a personal check to Lou Caverly, a gift of money of $400, when we were truly desperate. And that person has now lost his wife of, I think, 50-some years. His first name is Robert, and we ask you to pray for him in this bereavement and pray that God will truly bless him financially and every other way, in every other way, because he basically saved us. He saved us to be on the radio. There were several others of you, too, who have helped us very generously. And it was interesting. Just at times we were most desperate, isn't it, Lou? Something would come.
Yes.
You couldn't get gas, and there somebody sent a $20 bill. And there's one gentleman we dearly love named Clarence, and he usually sends us $5. But his messages are beyond beautiful. And it was like, he says, I like to hear from you, but I'd rather have you just keep doing the great work you're doing. Something like that. You know, his little pithy messages we really love because he just kind of tells it as it is. There are a number of you out there that we are beginning to know as real people, real friends. And there's a very astute listener. We didn't hear from him this month. And he didn't hear me correctly. He thought that I had said something about murdering children or something. We got that all straightened out. He has hearing aids. But I'm appealing to him. If he hears this program, he once sent a lot of information about the Mormon Church to us. And at that point, that's about maybe 3 years ago, we were in such an upheaval in our own home and so much clutter, I think the things got lost or destroyed. And if he wants to work at it again and send us some of what he had exposing this, I think it's very apropos with what Lou read. And now, when we're talking about Oh, Satan did not want this program. Not the program with Jack McClam, who talked about, I think, a Dr. Ruby, something like that in Germany, that allegedly molested his little granddaughter, and he was an army psychiatrist. That's what Jack alleged. No, today, Lou had a hiatal hernia attack, and this is not pleasant. This involves going to the bathroom and coughing and choking and spitting up saliva for 3 hours of these attacks. And that's why he doesn't have a good bass voice tonight. He can hardly talk. He's so hoarse and he's weakened. But we prayed. We said, oh, God, strengthen us. And we remembered the example of Anita Dittman, the late Aunt Anita Dittman, who was a Holocaust survivor. And she said, Elizabeth and Lou, many times I would be very, very sick with a strep throat or some kind of a bronchitis. I couldn't talk. And I would pray to God because it was right before she would have to have an appearance, a lecture appearance or a radio interview. And lo and behold, God would just straighten out her voice. She could speak and be understood, and it was perfect. And then after the interview, the illness was back. She couldn't talk very well again. So we are very pleased that we were able, by God's grace, to stay on the radio and to be on here tonight with you. And so if any of you do want to help us, you can help us just as you have been doing. And again, I do say, do not harm your family's needs. But if some of you tithe, we have a few widows who are really helping us. I just want to mention Alice. She has been so faithful, particularly using her money. We pay for Global Star Communications. It makes a dent in it when Alice tithes. Marjorie, there are others. We can't name everybody. But Brett, Robert, Brian. Brian is a very special person who lives in a very elevated place, and he's really watching the weather. And he drew our attention in the latest letter and having a nice contribution for us to Pastor Butch's program with Dane Whittington, that the things about the climate are getting even, you know, more drastic.
And Elizabeth, I think that's Whittington.
Whittington. Did I say Whittington?
I think you said Whittington. But
No, I meant to say Whittington. Yes. Thanks for that correction.
You're welcome.
And, you know, today Lou went to the grocery store, and he had to pick up things even after this attack. And what we found was we had been searching on the Internet for some rice cereal. And it was gluten-free, which we need. And when we went to the website today, everything was out of stock. All of the rice cereal. Now, we don't know, but we think, again, this planned kind of, the droughts and then the food shortages, you better keep stocking up. Now, we're moving back on about these evils that we've just been talking about. You know, it's coming also to your doorstep to assault you, even in the food you eat. And so, you know, there I was looking at Woman's Day, and this was a December issue, and it said on the cover, Holly Yay Cheer, H-O-L-I-Y-A-Y Cheer, Big Ideas for a Merry Little Christmas. And then on the front, it also pictured this charming little Christmas stocking, and in it were some Christmas cookies. There was a Santa, and there was a little snowman, and a candy cane, a gingerbread man. We have a lot of static, and we don't know what this is. We hope that you can hear us through it. And inside, this is what was really surprising, because they always give you new ideas about things you see in these women's magazines. But perhaps, for example, there might be new foods on the market, or there might be new kitchen appliances. Well, lo and behold, I'm looking here at snacks. And there was a kind of a chocolate snack, and then there was something that was sweet and chewy. And then there was something called Brave Bites. Now, Lou, if you didn't know, you might have thought that was some kind of nuts that would break your tooth, wouldn't you?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, like you have to be brave since you had that tooth ordeal. It says under Brave Bites, take your taste buds on an adventure with this daring dessert. Crickets are a surprisingly sustainable, protein-packed food that offers a tasty crunch even when doused in dark chocolate. And it was called Three Cricketeers Dark Chocolate Cricket Clusters. Now, you know, listeners, we've been reporting to you about this big cricket production facility in Ontario. So this is the depopulation gang again. They want us to be humiliated to where we have nothing to eat while the elite live in their gated communities and they have the best of everything. They want us to just be, I don't know what, just nothing till we die, till we drop dead, I guess. But we're going to move on now to more of these December demons. And I think, Lou, do you have the next part, or do I have that?
I believe I probably have it. Well, folks, here's another warning about the food you eat. This is toxic farmed salmon linked to higher risk of diabetes, obesity, by Ramon Tomy, Natural News. Consuming farmed salmon may increase your risk of developing metabolic disorders, such as diabetes and obesity. This is according to researchers from Denmark, Norway, and France, who looked at the long-term effects of farmed salmon consumption in mice. Their findings were published in the journal PLOS-1. The researchers reported that mice fed farmed Atlantic salmon fillets had accumulated fat in their bellies and that their fat tissues produced more inflammatory markers. They also found that mice given farmed salmon fillets had higher blood sugar and insulin resistance levels. And here's a quote. Chronic intake of farmed fatty fish contributes to insulin resistance and obesity. Our data indicate that intake of farmed salmon fillet contributes to several metabolic disorders, the researchers wrote in their report. And in a related article, you can look up how eating tilapia and salmon could be worse for your health than eating bacon. Going on with the article, according to the study, healthy fats like eicosapentaenoic acid, EPA, and docosahexaenoic acid, DHA, which are found in fatty fish like salmon, have been found to address insulin resistance and cardiovascular disease. However, the presence of persistent organic pollutants, nicknamed POPs, in farmed salmon counteracts their benefits. And this is another quote, farmed salmon has a much higher fat content than wild salmon, and thus has the potential to accumulate more lipophilic or fat-loving toxic chemicals, said Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit Beyond Pesticides. The researchers concurred with this and noted that, quote, there is emerging evidence suggesting that environmental contaminants like POPs may modulate the side effects of seafood consumption. Lipophilic POPs are mainly present in the lipid fraction of fish, and their concentrations are therefore expected to be higher in fatty fish than in lean fish, unquote.
Yes, and Lou, it's kind of tricky, the nomenclature,
yes.
When you read Atlantic salmon. Wouldn't you think, oh, that's wild caught?
You would think so, yes.
No, that's another code word for farmed fish. So bad practices, toxic chemicals, contaminate salmon. According to Beyond Pesticides, improper aquaculture practices are to blame for the toxicity of farmed salmon. Farmed fish use one of the most high-risk aquaculture practices, open net pens, in coastal and offshore regions. These pens allow easy exchange of waste, chemicals, and parasites between the farm and the surrounding ocean environment. Generally, these pens are in relatively remote areas, somewhat hidden from public view. You know, I wonder why I'm interjecting there, Elizabeth. However, these fish live in very crowded conditions, unlike wild-caught fish. Such a setup, the nonprofit added, quote, can have a disastrous impact on marine organisms and plants, disrupting ecosystem services. Aside from the aquaculture setup, toxic chemicals in both fish feed, excuse me, in both fish feed and the environment are also responsible for the detrimental effects of farmed salmon. The food given to fish may contain various drugs to control pests or diseases in the farm, which has led to widespread disease persistence and pest resistance. And Lou, I think we'd have to think about that, probably antibiotic resistance, things like people experience. You know, after
yes.
a while, the body doesn't even react right with all this going on. And I believe this is one such chemical. It's spelled E-T-H-O-X-Y-Q-U-I-N. Ethoxyquin, I guess that is. Ethoxyquin is one such chemical that contaminates farmed fishes. Salmon ingest it through fish feed, given its use as a preservative to prevent the oxidation of fatty acids from animal feed. Humans who subsequently consume farmed salmon can ingest this food preservative developed by, guess who? Monsanto in the 1950s. Give a cheer. Anything bad, practically, you can take it right back to Pfizer or Monsanto, can't you?
Yes, that's so true.
Back to the article, tests revealed that farmed salmon has up to 20 times higher ethoxyquin content than the allowed levels for fruits, vegetables, and meat. Despite claims that this consumption of this does not affect human health, studies show that it can induce DNA damage in human cells and cause mutations. I don't think you're going to say to me, Elizabeth, we're going to rush out and get tilapia and farmed salmon right away?
I think we will pass on that.
I think so. Okay, I think we're ready for you.
All right. Next up on the counter is Bill Gates' grotesque gastronomic quote. That is to say, quote, Beyond Meat, unquote. Check out the nasty ingredients in Beyond Meat Burgers. This is by Ethan Huff. Monday, October 24th. From Natural News. If you have ever wondered what exactly is contained within Beyond Meat's fake meat burger patties, look no further than the following list of the top most toxic ingredients. First, pea protein isolate. While one of the few ingredients that is not genetically modified, pea protein isolate contains much of the bulk matter used to create Beyond Meat patties.
And I'm going to interrupt right now because some listeners do realize that I've had an ongoing battle with recurring kidney stones. This started in about 2011. And, you know, I think even years before that, once in a while, I'd have a sporadic kidney stone and didn't know what it was. And, of course, Lou had had an unusual bout with something. You know, you have a little, see a little blood when you go to the bathroom, and you think, I'm dying. And Lou rushed off to a kidney specialist, someone I had known earlier. This was a wonderful old gentleman who had come from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And when his patients got elderly, he had about three locations. He moved his office and set up a very special office near them. He was just one of the kindest, most wonderful people. He would have to be deceased now, I think, Dr. Paul Bender. But Lou went to him because he had helped me so much with some other issues that I had had in earlier life. And so he looked at the x-ray, and he could show Lou, oh, you passed a kidney stone. That's why you had the bleeding. He could see what happened. And of course, he told him not to eat maybe so much milk and cheese and so forth and so on. So Lou's condition pretty much went dormant. Until about a year ago, he had a little flare-up. I think once recently you thought something had happened. But I was the one that it really took hold in. And now finally, after trying to experiment all with all the foods, it's more clear to me that I am affected by foods that have purines in them, P-U-R-I-N-E-S. And these foods create too much uric acid in your system, and then things go into stones. And also, gout can be related to this. A couple years ago in the winter, I would try to get up in the living room, and my foot would just feel like it was on fire, my toe, and I said, I can't walk. That was gout, and that was the uric acid. Now, I'm free of all that, but I still am not completely free of the stones. And so what my point is, a lot of these foods that have these purines could be like broth, meat broth, chicken broth, dried beans. That's a very, very important one. Now, what do we have here? We have this pea protein, this dried. And we were making some gluten-free breads and things that had a lot of that in it. And I was feeling worse and worse. So do you see that you have to examine all that you're eating? And you have to ditch certain things. You have to get rid of anything that has aspartame in it. We had another listener who wrote quite a letter to us. He had been eating a certain kind of cut rate, half and half, and he had nightmares at night. He had odd headaches. It was really bad. So then he went to another brand, a better brand. I don't really remember the names of the brands, and that all disappeared. Lou and I, one time, again, because we were trying to cut back on the milk, we bought a kind of, like a chocolate-type sherbet. It starts with a T, the name of this brand. And I ate a whole lot of it one meal, and my heart went crazy. And later, we really looked at it because it said it had natural flavor. Some of you who are old enough to remember hearing Dr. Stan Monteith's radio programs, Radio Liberty, will remember Dr. Betty Martini. And she was someone who had done all this research on aspartame and how it Reagan helped bring that in, you know, and it was not really research. It's just the same old COVID-19 clot shot gang type idea. And so under the name, the leading, misleading name, flavor, or natural flavor, aspartame can be in, I think Betty said, 40,000 products. So we pretty much beware anything that just says flavor or natural flavor. And, of course, this sherbet that I'm talking about, it had that. So after that bad reaction, we pitched that all out, and we never bought it again. Now, because Lou was heading toward getting that tooth out, he knew that he wanted one of his favorite items, and that was some kind of pudding. And once in a while through the years, we would buy Cozy Shack puddings, either tapioca or rice, but it always said natural flavor. And I thought, here's another thing we shouldn't be eating. And there had been a couple other brands of other things. For instance, there was a cheesecake, and that company, it said natural flavor. And I called them, and I asked for something in writing that would tell me there is no aspartame in the product. Well, we never heard a word. So we can assume they had aspartame. And shortly after that, you couldn't get that cheesecake anymore. Well, this time there was a really pleasant surprise because I phoned up Cozy Shack and I talked to the representative, and she didn't think they had anything like that in it. She said they had another line of products that was more, I guess, for dietary sugar restrictions that use Splenda. And I didn't tell her that wasn't such a good thing either. Splenda affects the liver. But at any rate, I kept persisting that I wanted something in writing. And she said she would tell them. Well, I thought, that's the end of that. We'll never hear a word. And the other day, a wonderful little letter came, and they say that they positively would not put something like aspartame in the Cozy Shack puddings. Now, do you see what you have to do, listeners, to survive? There are many aspects to this new world order plan to depopulate and make us sick. If we're not dead, they want to bring us down with the chemtrails, with all of it. So that's important. So now we're getting back to this idea of the fish. And I believe I have the next part, don't I?
Well, no. First, we got to get through that pea protein.
Oh, yes. Okay. I got diverted. Yes, yes. Go ahead. Now, these are the ingredients in
Beyond Meat, artificial burger.
You know what? I think something happened here where... Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, this is all Beyond Meat. Okay, we are past the fish.
Right.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, it says, and this, you'll have to listen to this, Elizabeth, because this applies to you in two different ways. Pea protein isolate is problematic for many because it is an allergen. It is also linked to reduced kidney function, containing a substance class known as purines that convert to uric acid.
There it is.
While purines aren't bad in normal amounts, and this is in quotes, by the way, while purines aren't bad in normal amounts, excess doses can make it difficult for your kidneys to get rid of all the uric acid. It is explained.
Oh, and I must interject here. If anybody out there has this problem, a good way to lower that uric acid is to drink lemon juice.
Yes.
In fact, one urologist told a dental assistant, we used to go to this dentist, that every day this person should drink a little lemon juice enough to pucker your mouth. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, we're not doctors, we're not nurses, but we're going to share some things that have affected us in case some of you out there can profit from it. And a lot of listeners through the years sent me ideas about the kidney stones, things to do. Eating asparagus is good to get rid of them, too. But now let's get right back to this. You know, before we found this article, Lou, I didn't know that this affected the kidney function.
No.
That's very serious.
Neither did I. But going on with the quote, this increases the risk of gout. And again, they're talking about the uric acid from the pea protein. This increases the risk of gout, an inflammatory condition in which uric acid builds up in the blood, creating needle-like crystals in the joints that cause episodes of severe sudden pain and tenderness. And it says a related article, you can learn more about the rise and fall of Beyond Meat. And that, I guess, you would just have to click on if you went to this particular article I'm now reading. Then they go on to talk about canola oil, also in Beyond Meat. A common ingredient used in processed foods, canola oil is more than often than not genetically modified. It is also an unhealthy, highly refined omega-6 fatty acid-rich saturation of chemicals that does no favors for the body when consumed. And I'll interject, this is Lou speaking, that a listener sent us some very good information on canola oil that said it could cause blindness. And we still eat a little bit because we like one kind of gluten-free bread. It's kind of hard to find varieties that we really like, but we can try to limit that. And now one more thing to conclude, stick with real meat burgers, not the fake stuff. And another toxic ingredient in Beyond Meat patties is DHA, algal oil, a substance known to cause gastrointestinal upset. DHA algal oil is often produced using a harsh and caustic chemical solvent called hexane.
And now I have a little more on that. Hexane is a known neurotoxin, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and hazardous air pollutant, according to the EPA. Reports indicate the use of hexane is strictly prohibited in organic food production. DHA algal oil is also typically stabilized and preserved using synthetic chemicals that are prohibited, including the sugar alcohol, mannitol, modified starch, glucose syrup, solids, and ascorbyl palmitate. And now here are some other things. Methyl cellulose. This natural plant substance is linked to allergic reactions such as hives, breathing problems, face and lip swelling, and other symptoms. It can also cause stomach cramps, rectal bleeding, and an impacted bowel. Carrageenan. Now, we have to stop on this one, Lou. How many ice creams did we buy in our lifetime that had carrageenan?
Oh, it seems
couldn't
like
count
countless.
Them, could you? All right, it's a pseudo-latex substance derived from seaweed. Carrageenan causes many of the same allergic symptoms as actual latex. Its consumption is linked to large bowel ulceration and ulcerative colitis, fetal toxicity, and birth defects, colorectal and liver cancer, glucose intolerance, and insulin resistance, inflammation, immune suppression, and the growth of abnormal colon glands. Now, to think, we thought that was just an innocuous thing, and, you know, carrageenan, oh, okay. Next one is yeast extract. Another name for monosodium glutamate, MSG, yeast extract causes many of the same symptoms as MSG, including flushing of the skin and headaches. And I believe, if I'm correct, Lou, that in addition to flavor or natural flavor being possibly a cover-up for putting aspartame in products, the same was true of MSG sometimes. Natural flavor,
yes,
could indicate that was part of it. Now, this used to happen to me when we would eat out. Sometimes my cheeks would get bright red. And we learned later that the thing I was eating did have the MSG. So that was a symptom that there was something allergic going on, you know, a reaction in me. And this article says another name, you see, for this MSG is this yeast extract, and that we'd have the flushing of skin and headaches. Quote, too much glutamate in abnormally high concentrations can lead to overexcitation of the receiving nerve cells. In some cases, the nerve cell receptors for glutamate can be oversensitive and fewer molecules are necessary to excite that cell, the science says. The ALS Association, now we know what that is. That's the Lou Gehrig disease, that terrible, terrible disease in which people's arms and legs get weaker and weaker, and there's never any cure for that as far as we know. Now, that might not be true in with dietary specialists in the natural healing field. Perhaps some people have been cured, but not that we know of. The ALS Association says prolonged excitation is toxic to nerve cells, and glutamate can cause harm when the messages are overwhelming, as in stroke or epilepsy. Then we have maltodextrin, usually extracted from potatoes, rice, or GMO corn. Maltodextrin has a higher glycemic index than table sugar, which is a disaster for diabetics. This ingredient also damages the balance of gut bacteria, which play an important role in immune regulation. One study has shown that maltodextrin increases the activity of E. coli bacteria, which is linked to inflammatory bowel diseases and other intestinal damage. Now, Lou, we have to ask, something that's to be a meat substitute, why does it have something in it here that would increase E. coli? Is that depopulation?
It sounds like it could very well be.
Doesn't it? Now, this says more related news about Beyond Meat and other fake, quote, meat companies can be found at Frankenfood News. And Frankenfood is all one word. Okay. So
yes.
we hope that, you know, we're into this now, into December, the December demons. We're trying to give you information that will warn you spiritually and warn you physically. This isn't exactly how we intended tonight's program to go. We would have gotten farther, but we're going to continue into next week, too. The demon of COVID, all the results of it, died suddenly. That movie that was released November 21st at Stu Peters Network, stupeters.com. We hope it will play a large role in alerting people. You have a duty. Just lately, I've talked to two people on the phone when I was making orders of something. One was a lovely woman, so much like Lou's cousin. And I said, did you take the COVID? Oh, yes. I'm all fixed up. I'm all boosted up. And I said, oh. And I said, they're very dangerous. They are. And you know, I didn't want to go whole hog into it because she's already fixed up. And I said, don't take any more. I said, they're dangerous. They are. I talked to a second person, a younger person. That person didn't know. That was a man. And I said about all these top athletes dropping dead after the clot shots. So people still don't know. Isn't it your duty to tell people about our little radio program and tell them to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com? And look there at breaking news to see the essays, to see the coverage that we have given since about November 2021. You know, a lot of people who aren't the media whores, people who aren't making $10 million, $20 million, $30 million a year, they're not at Fox, they're not at CNN. They're people like Todd and Don Waite who are producing our program, Global Star Communications. There are people like Hawk. There are people like Chris Pinto has a very good program. What is it, Jim? Noise of Thunder?
I believe that's right, yes.
And there I called you, Jim. But you are James L. Caverly. Let's put it that way. And I hope that we're going to live a long time, if it is God's will. My late beloved father, Charles Cuppet, said, because I said, I wish you would be here, and I would have you when you're 90. He chuckled a little, and he says, oh, you'll have me when I'm 90. No, I didn't have him when he was 90. He passed away at age 81. And a picture of him, the last picture taken of him, is now on our living room wall. And he was sitting at the bottom of the old curved stairway in that old house, the Cuppet house, where he was born, He had his cap on, his baseball cap and his jacket. He looked like an aging John Wayne sitting there, but he had this beautiful, radiant face. And it didn't have many wrinkles, but he was smiling because, as the minister said at his funeral, he had these two qualities, zest for life and compassion for others. And there he was. I thought to myself, I hope, if it's God's will, Lou and I will live a long time, that we can chronicle these things. We can be there. Once I had looked in the Bible before, and this was what was said to, I believe it was Isaiah or Jeremiah, cry out till the last city is wasted. Yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be on the radio as long as God wills. And we thank our wonderful web mistress, Angel. She was Angel Plasek. Now she's married. And the wonderful work that she's done. Back when we were on RBN, she wrote to us and said, God told me I'm to volunteer to make you a website. Now, wasn't that God? God is involved in everything. It was a true miracle that Lou Caverly could come to the microphone today. It was a true miracle that that neighbor bought the house. And now we're going to have to be careful. We will do our part. We put some of the money in to pay for WWCR for December. Yes, we had to. We put $300 in. But you're helping us. And if you would like to send something to Lou Caverly, the P.O. Box is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, our hearts are full thinking of all of you out there. And please pray what God wants you to do. Does he want you to do like Listener Art has done with some little cards that warn about COVID? Maybe some little cards can tell people about DividedKingdomRadio.com. Just pray what God wants you to do. And we thank you so much again for your wonderful love to us. And God will prevail over this terrible elite pedophilia darkness. Good night.